Today, I've titled this message. I think it's a very special message. It is not just about mothers. I really believe it's going to bless everyone that's watching us today. It is called A Healthy Heart. A Healthy Heart. And the reason I wanted to speak to you about this is I really believe it doesn't matter what echelon, what level of society we're in, whether we're in the individual level, we're in the marriage level, the family level, even the church community level, and finally at the national level, I really believe, and God's spoken this to my heart really clearly, if we take care of the heart, everything else takes care of itself. Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 says that if we lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways we trust in Him, then He will make our path straight. And so I really believe if we're able to set our heart on Him, and let me tell you, as a parent, and for you mommies out there, sometimes it can be frustrating. You know, you get the names of your kids wrong, and so you have some regrets maybe about the way you raised your children. But I want to tell you that if you put Jesus at the center of your life, you put Jesus at the center, at the heart of the family, God is able to rectify even your mistakes, even the things where you have done it not by the textbook. You know, you could do all the psychological books on how to raise children, but I want to tell you, you could do all the right things, but if you are not the right thing, you know, it's about being, not about doing. If you will have Jesus at the center of your life and of your family, God is able to take that and make it something sweet. Because about even your mistakes, even the things that you say, you know what, I really overdid it. Maybe I yelled at them too much. Maybe I punished them too much. Maybe I wasn't there enough. You know, but when you're crying out to God, when you're seeking God with all your heart, He's able to take all that, you know, and use it for our own good. The Bible says that even what the devil tries to use for evil, God is able to turn it around for our good. God works all things for good for those that love Him. So that is a promise of God. So I really believe if we're to have a healthy heart in God, God is going to take care of us, of our families, of our marriages, our church, and even of our nation. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. But I want to share some scriptures about how important, you know, the role of the mother is, you know, to the keep having a healthy heart in the home. So I want to read from Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 10, and then I'm going to skip to verses 27 to 31. It says, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Let me tell you something. If you have a woman of God whose greatest love is Christ, not you or the children or anything else, I can tell you from experience, you have an invaluable treasure. There are days when I'm not very likable, but because she loves Jesus, you know, she takes care of me, she forgives me, she serves me, you know, and we walk this life out together in order to please the Lord, and I see how well my wife takes care of our children. She's definitely an invaluable treasure. She's better than rubies. And then I'm going to skip to verse 27. It says, she carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. And I want to just keen on this word, watches. You know, the mother is someone who is always observing and watching in a protective role to nurture and to ensure that no dangers or harms come into the home. She's attentive. She's ready to step in when the children get hurt. You know, when they need counsel, she is readily there. I want to tell you, in my own household growing up, my dad, you know, he was a bit of a workaholic, and I can say this now, especially in the early days, he would just be gone for, you know, all day. He would leave early in the morning, he'd come back late at night, and then he would go on road trips because of his job, and, you know, my mom was there to counsel us. All the most important talks, including the talk about sex, I received from my mother, you know, that was always interesting. She was just the one that was there. She was there to nurture us, and she was there to counsel us. And you know what? Especially, she was modeling the Christian life, and she was praying and praying. I can tell you, she was not perfect. My mom is not perfect, and maybe she's watching right now. I love you. I just want to honor you for all that you've done in my life. I sent her a little message this morning, along with my wife, just to bless her. But I want to I just let you know that even though she wasn't perfect, even those things that where she might have been a little bit overbearing or not done enough, you know, the Holy Spirit was able to turn him into something special that have made me who I am today. So I'm telling you, it is better that you have Jesus at the helm, that you have, you know, the heart taken care of, because then everything else will work itself out. God is able to factor things into your life. Parents, I just want you to rest today, especially mommies, to know that, hey, none of us are enough. None of us can be there 24 hours a day to take care of our children. But, you know, as long as you're attentive, especially to hear from God and to model the life of Christ, He will take care of your family. Amen. Verse 28, her children stand and bless her, just like I'm doing for my mom and my wife. And her husband praises her. I'm praising my wife today. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. She's the one that God sent for me. She is my ideal helper, and I see how she takes care of our household, our children, and even me, sometimes of a child too. You know, I become the fourth child in the household. You know, so she is more precious than rubies. In verse 30, charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord. I want you to catch this. Charm is deceptive. You know, our beauty have all these things that that seem to be celebrated in the media. You know, all these Instagram celebrities. I'm telling you, that will all fade away. But a woman who fears the Lord will always have success. Hallelujah, because God is in the midst of her. And He honors her. So you connect with God. That is your priority. Will be greatly praised. It says, verse 31, reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. You know, so God rewards those women. And I know He does. With His presence, with His love, with peace. Hallelujah. And then God is able to take those children and turn them into men and women, you know, that are godly and that trust in the Lord. So I also want to honor my grandmother, Constanza. I don't think she's watching, but since she was in her 20s, she gave her life to the Lord. And even though my grandfather left her, when my mother was six, and she had to raise four children by herself, you know what? She never spoke ill of him. She worked hard, and she raised them to be, you know, God-fearing. It was one man and three women. And she is a woman of prayer, of praise. Sometimes I would wake up in the middle of the night when she's visited or where I'm in her home, and I hear her praying, even laying down in her bed. I hear her speaking in tongues and just searching the Lord. So I know that God has honored her. She is 97 right now, and she's still going strong. She gets on Facebook. She messages me. You know, and I really believe it's because she has been honoring to the people around her, especially her father and her mother. Like the Bible says, she has had a good life full of satisfaction to see her children, her grandchildren, and her great-grandchildren. And possibly, if she hangs on a little bit longer, she may get to see her great-grandchild, come into the picture. So anyway, I want to honor these three very special women in my life. You know, they understood, you know, maybe not the whole time, but at a certain point they realized that if they took care of their heart, the rest of the body prospers, the rest of their life prospers. And I just want to tell you, if you surrender your heart and allow God to lead it, you know, He's going to lead you to places of life. You know, I was talking to somebody recently, you know, what is the evidence that God is at work is that life emanates from them. You know, there's a life-giving source coming out of your pores, and the people around you feel refreshed. The people feel like they're lifted up. You know, there's eternal value in your actions and in your words. And so we want to take care of the heart, you know, so that everything else will flow. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Are you hearing this? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We know that the heart is the most important muscle in our body. It provides that life-giving blood to the whole, you know, being. So when we think about the heart, you know, we can't just think about individuals. Like we said earlier, you know, there's the heart, you know, of a marriage. There's the heart of a family. There's the heart of a church community. And there's the heart of a nation. And God will say to us today that if we You know, guard our heart above all else. Everything else will take care of itself. This proverb applies the same for each type of heart that I've mentioned to you. The heart is what drives you. The heart is what defines you. The heart provides the motivation. It is the place of desires. The heart is the place of hope. The heart is the place of faith. The heart is the place of peace. If the heart is darkened, our path will be darkened and full of unintended consequences. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be confusion, broken relationships. It leaves a bad trail. But if our heart is full of light, and John chapter 1 says this, that Jesus is the light of men. That Jesus is the light of men. If Jesus is in the midst of us, if He fills our heart, it sets our life on a course of our intended, our designed destiny. God doesn't leave anything to chance. He has written a book about you. He has said, this is what I want for you. The question is, are you going to put Him at the helm? Are you going to surrender your life that He may lead your life into those green pastures, into the life that He intended? Believe me, you know, there's no life that you can live outside of God that's going to be better than the one that He designed for you. You will be, you know, the best, you know, version of yourself when you let Him be inside your heart. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The heart is led by Christ on a sure path that leads to eternal life. Life emanates from those led by Jesus, like I was saying earlier. He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches, in John 15. And He said, in verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. I would venture out to say, anything that you do without God, you don't want it. I don't care how good it looks, how successful it might be. Because the devil will allow you to have certain successes apart from God. And all that that's going to do is entice you and trick you into continuing to live a path outside of God. But I want to tell you, guard your heart above all else, for from it, you know, flow the issues of life. It's what provides the direction in your life. The problem for individuals, families, churches, and even our nation is that we work from the outside in. Our heart is hurting, but we try to dress it up. Come on. Our heart is broken, but we just try to put a little bit of makeup on it. We continuously deal with the symptoms and not the root of the matter. The issues of life originate in the heart. If you take care of the heart, amazingly, even your perspective changes. Sometimes we begin to look around, and when our heart is not right, you know, we see, you know, something wrong in everyone around us. You know, we judge everyone around us. I remember years ago when I was in my early 20s, I would come home from work. And for some reason, you know, my two brothers were living with me. It seems like as soon as I walked in the door, I would be angry. And I would just take it out on my two brothers. And eventually, I listened to the Holy Spirit. He said to me, you know, it's not them, it's you. And when He took care of my heart, and when He filled me with love, and He filled me with grace, I didn't see those things in them anymore. It was me all along. It's amazing how if you take care of the heart, you know, you deal with the root of the problem and not the symptom. Everything begins to flow the way it's intended to be. So God wants us to deal with the heart. Hallelujah. You can say the right things. You can come to church. But unless you surrender your heart, like I said, you got to work from the inside out, not the outside in. You got to surrender your heart and allow God to shape your heart so that you won't be religious. You can do all the right things to, you know, talk the right talk. You know, you can dress really good. You know what Jesus said of the Pharisees? You are whitewashed tombs. Basically saying, all there is death inside of you. What flows from you is not life, it's death. You guys are the keepers of the law. You guys are the one that's supposed to know how this works. And you're twisting it. And you're leading everybody astray. You're whitewashed tombs. And in the process, you're judging everyone and keeping them from the truth. And they didn't even recognize Jesus when He came. You know, as a family, we dress up things too. We compare ourselves with the Joneses, right? Keeping up with the Joneses. If we can make more money, if only we had a better house, if we get that better car, you know, if I can get that retirement early, then we'll have a better family. You know what Proverbs says? It's better a morsel of food, you know, with peace than having a banquet with a lot of strife. Or a quarreling wife, says in another place. You know, you don't want that. We must deal with the heart of the family. We need parents, and even single parents. I know there's a lot of single parents watching. You know, this is not just for marriages. It's talking about you. If you will set your heart on the Lord, He will take care of your family, of your children. You know, we need parents and single parents to seek God for guidance. Now let's talk about churches. We don't want to just become activists. We don't have just programs and get busy and just look good in front of the community. We want godly things. We want God to take care of the heart. So our priority is to protect the presence of God. Our priority is to lead lives that are devoted to God, you know, especially as leadership, that we hear the voice of God. And whatever He says, that's what we're going to do. Even if others don't agree, our job is to please God. Because if we please God, everything else will take care of itself. God's going to send people in. Like it says in the book of Acts chapter 2, God added to the church daily those that should be added. There's a harvest out there, but we don't just want to fill the pews with people that are, you know, just sympathizers. We want conversions, transformation, life-giving, you know, services that when people walk in the door, they say, there's something here. And thank God we hear that all the time. That is why we had a prayer vigil. It was a statement to God. God, we want our heart to be set on You for days to come. We don't just want to have religion. We want You. You know, across my Facebook feed, I see all these little advertisements about, hey, if you only do this, you know, if you apply these strategic things, your church will grow. If you only get this better equipment, then you will have better services. And it can entice you, but I want to tell you, if the heart is not where it needs to be, none of that stuff matters. And if you gain something without the presence of God, you don't want it. It's not eternal. It's not life-giving. A church can forfeit its soul and its inheritance for a bowl of soup, like Esau. We certainly don't want the Holy Spirit to depart while we become intoxicated by our apparent success. We want Jesus at the center. We want to bring glory to Jesus. And finally, I want to talk about the nation. Oh, how our nation needs to return its heart to God. No matter what people say, the true history of this nation, you know, all the way down from the pilgrims to the early colonies to, you know, to our forefathers that wrote the Constitution, there were, you know, in the great majority, great majority, there were godly men serve in their churches. You know, when they had the First Continental Congress, you know, the history tells us that they met for prayer and fasting and for the reading of Scripture. They knew they needed God in it if the nation was going to be blessed. They knew if they took care of the heart of the nation, everything would take care of themselves. That is why there's no nation that has been as blessed, you know, next to Israel as the United States of America. I really believe that there's a special covenant, you know, upon this nation. But sometimes we try to dress up things. You know what our legislators think? All the way up to the Capitol? Say, hey, if we just add more laws, then we'll be better. Let's write a law for this. And we just keep adding to our books of law, you know, and tweaking, you know. Our bills are, you know, 20,000 pages and nobody wants to read. All you need is to follow the Ten Commandments. And Jesus boiled it to two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And it says, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, there's a simplicity. When you take care of a heart, you know, everything begins to take its proper place. It's about priority. It's about foundation. It's about the place of source, you know, of life. That's where the heart is. So we need to do that. You know, I'm not a political conservative. I'm a moral conservative. You know, the economy, it's great, but to me, that's not what defines a blessed nation. You know, Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When God is at the helm, when God is at the heart of a nation, the nation is blessed. And we have been the most given, the most generous. You know, the scientific breakthroughs that have come from this nation, you know, we have touched every nation. But now there's people at the high places, you know, who do not fear God. So we need to continue to pray. I thank God that He listens to the prayers of a remnant of people. And I know, thank God, all across this nation, there's been people praying for decades. You know, people have even passed on and not seen the answer to their prayers. But I believe that God is returning the heart of our nation to Him. God has given us a window, you know. So we got to judge things for the fruit. Yes, there's still a lot of sin, just like you and I, you know, have sin in our life. Just like, you know, marriages aren't perfect. Just like churches aren't perfect. Our nation's not perfect. But I want to tell you, when God is at the center, His grace covers all of our imperfection. Just like He does with you and I in our marriages, He's able to cover the imperfections. And He can even use those things that the enemy means for evil for good at the national level. We need a healthy heart, because a healthy heart is compassionate. A healthy heart, you know, desires the righteousness and justice of God and how we need it. We're seeing things on the news about injustices. You know, obviously the killing of this young man in Georgia in February. What a travesty. You know, and so, but let me tell you something. We need to guard our heart. Our desire for justice cannot come from a place of offense. It cannot come from a place of unforgiveness. You know, our motivation needs to be that God, you know, would do what He does best, which is to govern and judge equitably. He can take care of it. Let's just be in prayer and pray for, obviously, the victims and even for those people that perpetrated that. Yes, that the evil in the heart. You know, and I cannot read their minds. I cannot see their intention. But I want to tell you something, that God still loves them. They messed up. And it happens a lot, I know. But let me tell you something. If you're out there, you know, I come from a minority, but I want to tell you, my heart is free. And I can love my enemies. Jesus said, if you love my enemies, then you will be my children. I know it's hard, but pray and forgive. Jesus says, when you pray, forgive. Pray for our nation. Pray for justice. And even pray for our enemies. That's what really sets us apart, you know, as His people. So, I want to give you three things to protect your heart before I end this message. Three things that will help protect, to guard the heart. Because the Bible says, Proverbs, you know, 4:23, guard your heart above all else. From it, you know, comes the issues of life. So point number one, I want to say to you, your heart is yours to give. Your heart needs to be given. Your heart needs to be given. Romans 12:1 says, and so dear brothers and sisters, this is Paul saying, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Give Him your heart. He doesn't need your service or your money. Don't just dress it up with actions. You know, I'm just going to give some money. I'm just going to serve here and there. No. He really doesn't need those things. He needs the heart behind the actions to be set on Him, to be set on the right course. Our service, our giving, is just an extension of a surrendered heart. And God can see it very clearly if your heart is in it or not. Your heart is yours to give. If you want a healthy heart, that you need to give your heart to Him. And I will tell you here in a second why. Some of you are having trouble giving of your time. Some of you have a hard time giving of your talents and your finances. And that is a sign of an unsurrendered heart. John the Baptist said that I need to decrease and He must increase. It's not about me. It's not about me getting any glory, selfish ambitions or anything like that. It's about Jesus getting, you know, His reward, which is to have you in heaven one day. So give Him your heart today. Matthew 16, verses 24 to 27 says, then Jesus said to His disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. In other words, says, you got to give your heart. Verse 25, if you try to hang on to your life or your heart, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Hallelujah. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul, if you lose your heart? Do not measure success the way the world does. Our measure of success should be, am I pleasing to the Lord? That's why people would leave their possessions, you know, their relationships, and go across the world, you know, to a little nation, a third world nation, just to share the gospel. Why? Because they said, hey, my desire is to do what he called me to do. And to leave this world saying, I've done everything you called me to do. Hallelujah. Verse 27, for the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. I want to tell you, Jesus is returning. This is the time for you to give your heart to him. If your Christian walk is not satisfying today, it's possibly because you're still in control today. You're not going to like it if you continue to, you know, have that tension and tug of war with Jesus. You got to release it. To have the life of God, that which is of eternal value, that which is satisfying, life to the full, you must be willing to bring your heart, the deepest part of you, and say, Jesus, you can have it all. Do with it what you want. Do with it what you want. So that brings me to point number two. Your heart needs to be healed. Your heart needs to be healed. Because from it flow the issues of life. So when it talks about guarding it, it actually is assuming that the heart has already been healed. And once God heals it, then you protect it. You don't just protect something that has no worth, that doesn't work. So God wants to heal your heart. Your heart is broken. We all have broken hearts for different reasons when we come to Jesus. Even if as a believer, you may have a broken heart right now. Maybe a broken relationship. Somebody that really backstabbed you. Somebody who you had certain expectations and they weren't met. For a mother, sometimes it's their children. And so it breaks your heart. And the thing is about a broken heart is that you cannot dream if you have a broken heart. You cannot dream. You lose your hope. You just want to survive when you have a broken heart. But the good news is Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. He's right there, ready to heal you. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Like when Lazarus had passed on and he saw the broken hearts of Mary and Martha. And it says there that he wept with them. He is close to you. Luke 4:18 and 19 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus speaking. You know, it was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. Because he has anointed me, it says, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me, what does it say? To heal the brokenhearted. He wants to heal your heart. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Hallelujah. So you can dream again. And recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the good news. The acceptable year of the Lord. The plan. The sovereign plan that he has for you for the days ahead. Believe me, he has a plan for you. If you would just release your heart. And allow him to heal it. When you are freed. When you are made whole. You know what happens? You begin to dream. I remember when I was tied up in my sin, when I was tied up, even as a believer, in bondage, but I gave my heart to Jesus, and he began to peel the layers, and he began to heal, dismantle lies, you know, and remove offenses, and all these other things, and all of a sudden, I began to think his thoughts, and I began to dream about a future, about making a difference in this community, and everything that the Lord would have me to do. Psalm 126 verse 1 says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Something happens when you're released from slavery, from bondage, all of a sudden you're thinking, you know what? You know, I thought I only deserved, you know, to live in the mud and just to barely survive. But maybe God has something way better for me. Maybe I can have a great family. You know, maybe we can have a great nation. You know, maybe we can have a great community. Maybe we can have a great future. Maybe my children can become men and women of God. Maybe from them will come pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles, you know, and missionaries and servants of God. Yes, that's the legacy that I want to live towards. And you begin to Walk the path that your dreams are lined up. You know, because God speaks through dreams. Dreams is the language of the Holy Spirit. Dreams and visions. So he begins to make you think about higher things to attain to. About a hope. A confident hope, like the scripture says. So when we talk about healing, we're talking about being free of offense and forgiveness and bitterness. Some of us need to be free from these things. Like I said before, you know, if we want God to heal our nation, he needs to start with us. He works from the inside out. Sometimes we say, well, our politicians need to fix it. No, God says, I got to fix you first. They don't know me. Some of them do. But just like you, they need me. I need to come in and heal you. But I'm telling you, you're not going to make a difference if you're operating from a heart of offense. That's what's happened now with all the social justice warriors. All these groups, even feminism, that's destroying the role of the mother. It's because even though the intention was good, was to protect, you know, the role of a woman. Because she had been so hurt. You know, sin just brings hurt all over the place. And men abuse their power all through history. You know, even from Genesis it talked about it. The women were going to try to compete, you know, for some of the roles of men. And so now women are making men the enemy. And that's not what God has called us to be. You know, we all have a place. The Bible says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. When the heart is taken care of, everybody flows in who they are. You know, without competition. So we cannot operate from a spirit of offense. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31, 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Interesting. I believe it's in Ezekiel. It says that he's going to take a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. A heart that can feel, a heart that can love, a heart that can forgive, a heart that can, you know, have compassion. Some of us are so hurt and we've been so hardened and so callous that we can no longer, you know, serve others. God is saying, I got to heal you. Come to me, all those that are weary and heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. I will give you healing. Verse 32, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. If you've been forgiven, the Bible compels you to forgive as well. And that brings me to the last point. Once the heart is healed, and let me tell you, none of us are as free as God intends us to be. There's always going to be something else that God wants to free us from, but God has stages. There's things that you don't realize that are inside of you, and God says, you're not ready to see that just yet. At the right time, I'm going to reveal it to you because then I'm going to deal with it. Right now, I want to deal with this other thing that's more pressing. So God has a timeline for your healing. But at anyway, once he has given you a victory in any area, then he wants you to protect it. Just like in the military, you take a hill, then you protect the hill. Right? So whether you're an individual or a nation, this applies. Allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart often. It says in Psalms, you know, search my heart, O God. Look to see if there's any offensive way inside of me. And there's two parts of this. One, like we said, the heart must be made pure. And then second, the heart must be kept pure. The heart must be made pure, and then the heart must be kept pure. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 19, and I'm almost done here, says, wash yourself and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. And verse 17, learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. We were just talking about that. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. But he says, come on, let's settle this. Says, though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. You got to give him your heart. You got to let him heal it. And he's going to begin to purify it. And he's going to give you strategies to guard your heart. The Bible tells us very well how to keep, you know, our eyes from evil. The place it says to flee from youthful lusts. He wants us to keep our heart pure, because from it flow the issues of life. If the heart is taken care of, everything will fall in its place the way it's supposed to be. Believe me. Our job is to minister to Him. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek His kingdom and His righteousness. That's talking about an intention of the heart. If I just seek His kingdom and His righteousness, all other things will be added unto me. I don't need to chase after wealth. You know, His blessings will overtake me as long as my heart is set on Him. So the heart must be kept pure. Actually, I don't think I finished this. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. If you just give me your heart, I will take care of you. Then the heart must be kept pure. I would boil it down to three things. Idolatry, anything that would want to supplant the place of God. Of sexual immorality, because it's a sin that can so easily destroy us in our families. And another thing, be pure of offenses. And of course, you know, there's witchcraft, there's a lot of things but I would say those main three in our lives that they always want to creep in: idolatry, sexual morality, and offenses. If you surrender your heart, allow God to heal your heart, and you're diligent to keep your heart pure, what flows from your heart is going to become a wellspring of life. A wellspring. I'm telling you, life is going to emanate from you when people around you, like I said before, they just feel refreshed. They feel like they've been with Jesus. Isn't that what He's called us to be? To be a Jesus in the flesh. You are the Jesus in the flesh that your family needs. You are the Jesus in the flesh that your marriage needs. You are the Jesus in the flesh that our church needs. You are the Jesus in the flesh that our nation needs. Allow Him to, you know, heal your heart. And to keep your heart pure. And I finish with this, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It may sound a little bit different than what you're used to. Instead of saying, blessed is the man, it says here, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. It's like with somebody who keeps their heart pure. Or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. And verse 2 says, but they delight in the law of the Lord and the word of God, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither. And it says what? They prosper in all they do. If you take care of the heart, God takes care of you.